pandemic got us into a reflective space and made us look inward to see what we can do for the world at large. As a self-expression coach, I became a catalyst for women and started Vani, a one-on-one coaching program for women on finding their voice, to speak up, to be visible. As a storyteller, I spotted there were many ordinary people amongst us leading extraordinary lives, making a difference to the world, and they needed to be heard. Thus was born You and I with Rashmi Shetty, where amazing personal journeys with their uniqueness and individuality are showcased. A reaffirmation of the fact, open your eyes wider, the world is far more beautiful when we acknowledge the presence of both you and I. It is the Karnataka Rajyotsava week, and we have a special guest today on You and I with Rashmi Shetty, Professor M.K. Sridhar, a PhD from the University of Mysore. He has worked as a senior lecturer in commerce at Vijaya College, Bengaluru for 2 decades. Subsequently, he joined Bangalore University as reader at the Canara Bank School of Management Studies, where he went on to become professor, director, and dean. He has successfully guided MPhil and PhD scholars and published 30 papers and completed 11 research projects funded by the government and professional bodies. He served as Member Secretary of Karnataka Knowledge Commission and Karnataka State Innovation Council of the Government of Karnataka. He is a trainer for various organizations and is also a social activist for social and national causes. His life sketch was published and profiled by many publications and media houses. He was conferred with the Karnataka Rajyotsava Award by the Government of Karnataka, the Kempegowda Award by the Brihat Bengaluru Mahanagar Palike, and the General President Gold Medal by the Indian Science Congress Association. He was nominated as a member of Central Advisory Board of Education, the CABE, All India Board of Management Studies, AICTE, Executive Council of Central University of Gujarat, Vice President of the Indian Red Cross Society, Karnataka. He was nominated by the Ministry of Human Resource Development as a member of a committee for draft of national education policy under the chairmanship of Dr. K. Kasturirangan between 2017 and 2019. He is also the honorary president of the Center for Educational and Social Studies, CESS, and the president of the Yuvaka Sangha. He is also EC member of Central University of Kerala and NAC. Professor Sridhar is also member of the University Grants Commission. Listen in as Professor Sridhar shares his journey, where he was born normal, afflicted by polio, but did not allow the wheelchair to stop him from dreaming and having a fully satisfied life, where he made life salute him and till date continues to be an inspiration to all his students who stay in touch with him even today. Namaskara, Professor Sridhar. Namaskar. Such an honor to have you on You and I with Rashmi Shetty.
For me also.
It's been a decade since we met, and you are somebody who, when I saw for the very first time in the radio station, somebody who touched me plainly by your simplicity. So I want to know what little Sridhar was like to the Professor M.K. Sridhar that the world knows you as today. So can you take us through your journey?
See, I also remember only a couple of photographs that I have as little Sridhar, you know, where I'm able to stand and all that. And that is a little Sridhar in my mind. Then I think now there are any number of things that have happened. And it is nearly 65 years of journey down the line since that photograph I'm talking. When the photograph was there, I was normal. I was beaming like anybody else. Then I was around 4. More than 65 years have gone now. I don't think that, but I am the same old little Sridhar. and beaming Sridhar, not necessarily in terms of the physical beaming, you know. Internally, I'm talking. Only difference I see is the size of the person. Somebody was standing at that time. Somebody is not standing at this tower. Somebody had no such prefixes, suffixes, etc. Somebody who people add prefix, suffix now. But I personally feel the same old little Sridhar is now. After 65 years, you cannot be like that only. You become something. That's how I reflect on that particular entire thing. Because I feel, Rashmi, you know, when we started working on this national curriculum framework under the new education policy, we came across tremendous scientific evidence all over the world, from all over the world, that 85% of the brain of the child will be developed by the time the child reaches 6 years. So the brain-wise, there cannot be much change, you know, physically and otherwise. It will. So the basic root of your entire thing will be that. This is what makes me to respond in a way what I respond.
True. So are you somebody who's completely Bangalore bred, or were you from some brought up in some other city and then moved to the city of Bengaluru?
I moved to Bangalore. In 77, I moved to Bangalore.
Okay.
I'm actually from a place nearly 100 kilometers down towards Andhra. It is called Hindupur. It's a border town between Karnataka and Andhra. That's a taluk headquarters. It's a town, and I hail from that place. But I was born in a place called Manchenahalli in Kolar district.
Okay.
That's my mother's place. Mother's their parents' place. So it was primarily in Hindupur only. But for 5 years, I was in Chennai. That is primarily to undergo some treatment, education, things like that. So I'm basically, until 77, as a Hindupur guy, and then briefly in Chennai also. Later on, I've come to here to stay.
Okay. And as a little boy, sir, were you a very quiet kid in school, or very naughty, curious? What kind of a childhood was yours?
In fact, I really don't remember much, to be frank. Because if you make me to go back the journey, if I remember my childhood and all that, I remember two things. My life in Chennai, that was around 7-8 years. And then after that, after return from Chennai to Hindupur, I really don't remember what was the kind of things before Chennai. Except that, you know, my parents and others used to tell me that, you know, the way we used to treat you and all that. But I really don't remember. The life at Ishwari Prasad Dattataya Orthopedic Center, Adyar, Chennai, nearly for 5 years. And subsequently coming to my own native place, Hindupur, to continue my education and settling down. This is what, if you call it as my childhood kind of a thing, this is what I very distinctly remember and recollect. When it comes to question of Chennai life, I think it is Chennai life, you know, that is the most important foundation of my life. That's primarily because only one thing I remember even before Chennai, my father, when I got stuck with polio and lost control over my lower limbs and one upper limb. And the way that my father prepared me psychologically to face that transition, I call it as transition. I think that went a very long, and that made me really to take up the challenges of Chennai life. Because there were a lot of challenges there. But that shaped my personality, my nature. And, you know, you should not give up kind of a thing, number one. And number two, how do you overcome the challenge and the problem? See, there is no point, you know, brooding over the problem. Because I have, you know, there are constraints that even if I brood over problem, I can't do much. at that time. There was nobody to brood over. Also, I was alone and along with my friends. What made us is it started kindling that spirit, you know, that team spirit. Why not? What you cannot overcome as an individual. Why don't you collaborate with others and start doing it? See, for example, I tell one incident. My father, at that time, not very financially, a lot of challenges were there. He used to send me a very meager amount of pocket money. That was not enough to manage the food, because there were a lot of food related challenges in that place. Then what we did is, few of our friends, we put all that together. At least put for a few days, let us have a full meal. We used to organize it from outside, because that food there was not at all bearable. I think some of these things started making you to collaborate, to build that fellowship, you know, so that you can overcome the challenge. This is one thing which I very well remember. The second thing that makes me to really, the warmth of a teacher, how it can make difference. We had a teacher called Kaveri. She was a Telugu teacher there. I don't know why she picked up some love for me. And what she did is, because she was knowing that there are a lot of challenges of food, and we used to go to the class half empty, empty stomach kind of. So whatever that small box that she used to bring from home, during lunchtime, she used to call me and a friend of mine, Malati Holla. We used to be together and aside to the class, and she used to share. That warmth of a teacher, that love of a teacher, made us to grow.
Yeah.
So like this, that entire thing made us very strong. And maybe, see, I'm unable to say it is only these things which has made me to realize. But if somebody like you asks me, maybe I may give not necessarily the same answer after that. But at that moment, when I start looking back, what strikes me, I am sharing. So these are the two things that, that means you are collaborative, teamwork, getting along with others, which you can collectively achieve, is one thing. And your love, affection to people, you know, that's the greatest thing that anybody, you know, that has really taken me forward.
Yeah, that's so powerful, because I'm sure somewhere that has shaped you to become who you are today.
Awesome.
In a very, very big way, in which you talk to your students and connect to your students also in your journey. So as you moved further in school towards high school and later, what were the subjects that drew you? Again, was it teacher's influence, or certain subjects just drew you completely into the subject that you decided to take it further into 11th and 12th and commerce and subjects like that?
No, it is definitely, you know, when up to 10th standard, you know, at that time there were nothing like this art, science, commerce kind of an approach. But when I came to 11th and 12th, it was commerce. I took up commerce. There is nothing like a love of a subject, because I don't know the subject. Maybe, possibly, this is what I very vaguely remember. Maybe my family, being a business family, they must have told me, you know, science and all you know, it may be difficult for you to do laboratory work and things like that. And there was no arts in that college. Maybe because of that, I took up commerce. I don't know, but it is definitely not any love and teacher. But you know, my high school days, my interest in English is primarily because of one teacher that made me very strong in that subject. One, Sri Subbarao, was the headmaster. The kind of English that he used to teach, it made me very, very good. And in English, in 10th standard, I got the highest marks in the entire town in English in 10th standard. Maybe, possibly, that may be because of that. But I used to write poems, participate in debates, and used to participate in all kinds of, I can say, election, football matches, you know, all that kind of a thing. So I think this is what helped me. But later on, when I came to the college, in the commerce, you know, some teachers actually have influenced me. Especially there was one, Professor Subramanian, was the principal of the college. He used to teach us civics. And the way he used to teach us civics had a lot of element of history also at that time, I'm talking. But that civics, he used to make it so interesting that actually really influenced me. And when it comes to the degree, in fact, there was one Professor Raja Rao who just, we lost him, you know, only the last week. So last week only he passed away. And he is one person who really influenced me as a teacher. How to teach, how to, things like that. And the only satisfaction I have is I met him very recently. And it seems I came to know that after my meeting, within few days he fell ill and he was admitted to hospital. But I have satisfaction of meeting him and taking his blessings. And when it comes to post-graduation, one teacher really moved me. And that is one Professor V.R. Krishnaswamy of Bangalore University. And he became my model teacher. And I was tremendously influenced by him, especially my research interest. I think it's primarily because of that. And then maybe afterwards, you know, while doing my PhD, you know, my guide, Professor Anantan of Mysore University. These are few people who have really touched me. There are others also. I'm not saying, you know, that there are not others. But these are the primarily the teachers who have really made me. And especially it is not necessarily because of the subjects that they made. It's not necessarily because of any teacher I took any subject. But, you know, I took the subject for various reasons possible. But when I started doing it, these are the people who really had tremendous impact on. And even today, see, my own some students who have become teachers, I consider them as my teachers. You know?
Mm-hmm.
They're so good and they're so wonderful as teachers. So a teacher influencing you is not necessarily whenever a student.
Yeah.
Even after you become something in life and complete your studies also, you come across some people who are your teachers. For example, for me, the greatest teacher of my life is my father, Krishnamurti. And my mother and family and all that. And later on in my life, you know, possibly, when it became, you know, various phases, there are many more people who have taken over. Even my students are teachers, and my colleagues are teachers. And who knows, people like you also will be my teacher. In a different way, I'm talking in a completely different way. So teacher is one who inspires you, who gives you direction, who answers your questions, and who questions your answers, rather. So like that, in that way, there are many teachers for me, which I can't name all of them.
Yeah, that's true. That's true, sir. And so was teaching something which was a very natural choice for you, that when did you decide to become a teacher? Or was it that post-graduation, then your research and all of it just very naturally progressed you into becoming a teacher? What drew you into that profession per se? As you were studying and moving forward, there are many other choices in commerce. How come you didn't choose any of those?
See, let me tell you, you know, all through ours is a business fact. And my elder brother is a chartered accountant. Looking at my own kind of a situation, my parents wanted me to do chartered accountants so that anyhow your brother will have an office. You can also join him and do it. But somehow, some of these things never attracted. And the business and that kind of money making, somehow it did not attract. See, one thing that, see, I was good in public speaking from many, many years. I used to participate in all debates, all competitions, elocution contests and all. Maybe that has made me to feel, and even others also started feeling positive that you can be. And second thing is, you know, that nobility of the profession. So I started feeling, you know, that whatever else that you do, you'll be doing it for money, for earning. It is wrong, which I realized later on. But at that time, I'm talking. When, for example, chartered accountancy, and the option came to me, my father, when he said, then I started saying, you know, this is a profession which helps people to evade tax. I don't want it. It's out of ignorance. Huh? It is not, chartered accountancy is not evading tax. But you were not knowing all that. So only one thing that appealed to me right through is the teaching. Second thing, possibly my own social orientation, social work, involvement in various organizations. The kind of student activism that I used to pursue and the organizations with which I was associated with. You know, I really wanted to pursue that activity, that mission. And I felt becoming a teacher is a very natural way of, you know, involving yourself in that mission. And later on, no going back on it. But one thing I can say, you know, after becoming teacher, in fact, in 2016, I very well remember the day I was in Delhi, in Karnataka, in some context. I was just laying down. I was just trying to recollect, you know, within few months I was going to retire. When I looked back, what are the phases I went undergone as a teacher? So I realized, you know, that teaching the student was the only thing of a teacher. That's what I used to feel. But later on, I realized, you know, it is not necessarily teaching. There are any number of other dimensions. And even today, when people come and, you know, pay respects, I don't know whether they remember the teaching, whether they remember the classes, whether they remember the people. I don't know what makes them, but not necessarily teaching. Even today, when I go to Lal Bagh on Sundays, you know, many of old alumni and other students, they meet, the way they pay their respects. And sometimes their children come and they pay. I don't know, you tell me what makes them to do that. It is not necessarily the subject. So treating a teacher within the four walls of a subject and a classroom is a very, very narrow understanding of the concept of a teacher, is what I think. Maybe a lengthy answer, say a short question.
No, but the beauty of the profession is when you're passionate about it, it's not about what am I giving. It's about what all can I give in order to make sure that this topic, this subject, or this moment with the student is memorable for both. And I feel that's what makes that profession such a noble profession, that there are some teachers, like when you were talking about your childhood, I'm sure there were many teachers, but then there are some teachers you very distinctly recalled with name because they did something extra special which stayed with you. And I'm sure that's what you're doing as a teacher also. But do you remember any specific student who challenged you or who taught you a life lesson, Professor Sridhar, or any particular student who's left a deep impact on you that you still recall that moment when it was an aha for you or oh my God moment for you?
In different ways, there are few such instances. See, for example, the initial months and couple of years of mine joining as teacher in Vijaya College, Bangalore, I faced an issue of a principal. See, if you want to be a teacher, teaching the subject and all that is fine. But you know, you also require a principal and a discipline. And if you insist on discipline and principal, that will be very inconvenient for students. I very well remember, you know, that I made it a point that those students who come to the class will only get attendance. And there the trend was, whether they come to the class or not, you please give them attendance so that at least there will be no disturbance in the class. But I did not somehow subscribe to that thinking. I said nothing doing, you know. I will not give attendance if you don't attend the class. And some of them were not interested, but they had no other go than to come to the class. And when they used to come to the class, I very well remember, Rashmi, that they used to create so much of disturbance in the class. In fact, they used to continuously shout, not talk, shout. But I never gave up. Nothing doing. I will continue my work. And I used to teach and all that. When all these things were happening, one day when I was moving on my wheelchair near a college, I was holding the attendance register in my hand. One student whom I met very recently, let me not share the name and all that, you know, whom I met very recently, he came to me and snatched that attendance register and ran. And then he started marking attendance and all. Then on that day, I could not take attendance. Then I took a white sheet. In that, I wrote the names of the students and took the attendance. This gave me a feeling, you know, that if you are not having conviction on what you are doing, you can always be intimidated. But later on, there was very great, all of them, they realized and they came out. This is one very specific incident that I remember. And another incident that I remember is in some batch, I found one student not properly behaving. And I called that person and slightly took him to task and all that. You know, you may not believe, the next day in the toilet where all of us go, there was a slogan written, you know, down, down MKS. MKS means MK Sridhar. That is the shortcut that students use. Down, down MKS. But I understood. But I never treated that boy with any difference. I treated the boy in the same way. Then after a few days, he came back to me. He came and met me and said, apologized. I'm very sorry, sir. So therefore, you should not be intimidated on one hand, but at the same time, you should not discriminate. Because somebody has done something, if you start discriminating, then you are giving credence to whatever that they think. I think we must have that kind of a broad-mindedness to digest all that, whatever they speak. Like that, there are any number of incidents, but you know, for paucity of time, I'm not giving all kinds of things. You know, for example, once it so happened, you know, that because I sit on a wheelchair, I do sit on a platform because I need to sit. I never used to stand. I was unable to see the entire class because that used to be a very big class. Naturally, some students at the back, they used to create some issues. But then I could make out that there is something like that. And I also started telling them. Then someday, some student stood up and said, "How do you see, sir? You cannot see that we are creating trouble, but you are saying that we are not creating disturbance." Then I remember that I replied to that boy, "I am like a satellite, Baba. I go up and from there I see what's happening." So like that, very interesting things, the way they used to respond. And only one thing, Rashmi, I feel, you must have intense love for. That is the only thing. And you should never discriminate anybody. You should not have any partiality on anything. You must have that genuine love, whatever may be the kind of person. I think that is the only thing that I personally feel. Whoever it is, even somebody who has done harm to you also. In fact, this boy who snatched that identity register, I met him and he is a very senior officer in Reserve Bank of India. And I told him, "Hey, do you remember that?" He said, "Yes, sir, I remember that." But I recollected that incident with a lot of fun. I never considered it as a negative kind of thing. He had brought his son also. I told his son, "Hey, your father is a dynamic guy." And even when he went to university also, I think university is a little different bulk because you will be adding postgraduate students. The slightly dynamics are a little different. The things that I remember, recollect as a teacher is more at the graduate and PUC level than postgraduate. No doubt I might have grown, but you know, the impressionable thing is that graduate and
And the students are also, I think, tasting life at that time, testing different grounds and waters with teachers. So that's a very beautiful phase to be an influencer as well, sir. So post your teaching stint in the university, how did your career progress and what all did you do since?
It's very natural, you know, that nobody can be in anything for all the time.
Yeah.
One relief that I got is, I'm a very free bird from 2016, September onwards. I'm a free bird. But one thing that made me to think very seriously, all of us are pensioners. Right? We get monthly pension. And even family, suppose there is a family pension. I realized one very important thing, Rashmi. Even after your retirement as a teacher, you are paid pension. What is the reason? I think, how do we really honor that? So I personally felt, you know, even after retiring, you may not be in an organization, but you'll have to be in education. And whatever is possible, you must try to see that, you know, education improves the quality and various dimensions. Whoever invites, you know, you can always go. It is not for any remuneration and you don't expect any. So whenever all these activities that are going on in the field of education, the policy making, and subsequently and all that, I owe that to that feeling of pension that I'm getting. Today I got my pension. For what? So I need to reflect at the end of the month if I get pension. As a teacher, as an employer, whatever. Have I done enough or sufficient work for the sake of education during that month? If I have not done it, then I don't deserve the pension. I am not getting pension for the service that I have done for the university or college or whatever. It is for me to continue to do my work. So it is a salary for doing that kind of a spirit. So therefore, I personally involved myself in more and more activities in education. One is, see, 2017 onward, 2016 September, I demitted, rather superannuated. 2017 onwards, I started associating with a society which is for education. And later on, 2017, June onwards, then I got an opportunity to work in this National Education Policy Committee. So that is happening even today also. So something or other for school education, higher education, all that is happening at Karnataka state level and all India level. So that is happening in a continuous way. And in the process of doing all this, now we have reached a stage that we are able to, me and a few like-minded people together, now we have promoted a university, a private university in Bangalore called Chanakya University, which is going to be inaugurated on 19th of November. So that's how, so my work in the education policy related, and then the building of this university. You know, these are the two things that I have taken up right now in my life. And I now don't want to get into too much of programs, speeches, public speeches, nothing of that. In a very focused manner, I do this. So this is what is now my job is.
Very powerful. It's amazing how from the profession of teaching, you move into becoming part of a university. And in this journey, sir, are there any absolutely unforgettable moments that make you really happy that you chose what you did or you were chosen to do what you did? Some moments where you look back, reflect, and you're so happy that you ended up being who you are today.
See, one thing I can say, whatever that I have done, at no point of time subsequently I had any regret. So be clear, I was clear in what is that I need to a great extent, and then started doing it with complete, you know, devotion, you know, that single-mindedness. A small thing, big thing, or major. And at the end of it, you will only feel happy. You will never feel unhappy. Even if unhappy incidents happen in the course. But at the end of the day, when you recollect, when you reflect, it's only happy. So therefore, Rashmi, what I feel is that till now, I have not looked back. And I, somehow, I am a kind of a person who do not remember too much of the past. If you ask me what happened when and all, I don't very well remember, because I believe in the present and work towards future. What is that I need to do today so that we can do better? See, in my childhood, it was like this. So I have no regrets. I'm extremely happy. I'm the, what I can say, top of the world at every moment of life. And I wish and pray I continue to be like this to the last breath, last moment. God has been extremely good, extremely positive, a very, very favorable family, extremely loving family, and tremendous strength from friends and other companions. And there's a great organizations with which I am associated, and the wonderful set of students that I have. And also one family who completely takes care of me, Mr. Narasimha and his family. And I feel, what is that I don't have? I have everything in my life. Am I right? What else is life? If somebody says that you do not have a lower limb, you do not have upper limb. See, ultimately what is important? Are you feeling extremely satisfied, happy at the end of the day in your life? I think I'm fine, extremely good. And at the end of the day, if you can feel very satisfied, that's very, very important.
This is so amazing. You don't remember instances from the past, but you remember people you met in the past. And they remain distinct in your memory because you leave a very distinct memory in each of the person who's met you, sir. That I can tell you, and I can vouch for that. That you definitely leave a distinct memory in everyone who's met you. You have very clearly said that you don't recall a lot from the past, but the biggest teacher of all was the pandemic the last 2.5 years. There's so much the pandemic has taught all of us. First and foremost, to pause and reflect. What did it teach you, sir?
A lot of things really taught me, especially when I was tested positive and was admitted in the hospital. And for some reason, I had to stay in ICU. You know, one thing I very well realized during my stay in the ICU are not the doctors and big people. Really, the people who really make your life very comfortable. One is the nursing staff and other staff who take care of others. For example, somebody who helps you to attend to your nature call. You know, I felt like touching their feet. They were not to be there. What will happen to people like us? I felt extremely extremely, that is one thing which made me to realize so much about such people. And this is one thing which I really, you know, healthcare and issues like this. The second thing that happened to me during the pandemic, the time, quality time I used to spend with my family, especially my mother, myself and my mother. My father is no more for the last 12 years, so he was not there. But the time that I used to spend with my mother is really great, because in my entire life, my spending time with family is least. So that made me to really spend time with my mother in particular. And myself and my mother used to sit on two wheelchairs outside my house in the morning after breakfast. And in fact, you may not believe, you know, there are some passersby who stood students started taking photographs. I don't know what made them to take photographs. So this is one thing, you know, that past made me. The third one is the nature of shift in your kind of activities. You cannot meet people. You cannot go and meet anybody. Then how do you manage that brightness of life? Because it is the people, meeting, interaction is the cornerstone of your life. Now you don't have anything. I think that's also very, very important. I started reflecting more and more on various other things, maybe a bit of reading. You know, this technology shift also happened to me during that. But still, how do you beat that? You beat that through a different means of using technology. But one thing I can say, you know, that this pandemic, leave alone the fear and all that, is one thing. But, you know, definitely this has given us a pass. And it has questioned what all that you used to do. That big question in many respects, not necessarily in terms of anything, you know, it questioned various things that you used to do. It's an extremely important thing in one's life. And the way weeks and weeks together, you'll have to only confine yourself. And you never used to meet anybody. First time in your life, you'll have to say, I'm sorry, I'm unable to meet you. But, you know, you had to do that. The way you used to wear masks and then the other things that you used to use. All this has entirely changed your lifestyle. Now, if you are asking this question to me, I don't know how did I spend that 2 years. In a way, I don't even recollect, you know, the exact details, which is my nature. But definitely, it was a pass. It was something reflected you, and it made you to change the codes. It made you to change the various things in your life. But the only thing that I personally feel is, in order to make you to undergo all this, do you need a pandemic of that kind?
Yeah.
Why, as a human being, why can't I realize, change my course, take a pass? Why can't I do it? Why should I expect a pandemic to be that? And in the process, a lot of suffering. And even it built a tremendous empathy.
Yeah.
Actually, you know, the kind of people, they suffered so much. In all respects, it has really made us, in various respects.
It definitely made us value life, value relationships, and value people, because we realized moments are important, and that's what life is made up of.
Yes.
So beautiful teacher the pandemic was. But like you said, sir, sometimes you sit and wonder, do you need a pandemic to tell you all this? These are some basic...
Why you are not wise enough to realize that.
Realize it, yes.
The nature, I think maybe the God willing, the nature willing.
Yes.
Hey, these chaps will not learn lessons until I strike them.
Yeah. So she gave us a long rope, and then the teacher became strict. And talking about life lessons, sir, you've had such a full life, meaningful life, and an inspirational one. So are there three life lessons that you'd like to leave us with as we reach the end of the conversation? Three life lessons that you think you have taken from life.
One very important, whether you call it as a lesson or whatever, you should not too much live in the past. In fact, many people ask me, how old are you? Then many a time say, why do you bother about my ages? I think I'm fine. and then my childhood was like this, and my thing was like this, you know, we start doing it. I somehow feel one important lesson that I feel is, you know, don't think too much about your past. You have to more and more worry about what I do today so that what will happen tomorrow. The second thing, what I feel is, you know, I don't know, was it in your interview in All India Radio or what? I feebly remember this question of yours. What are your challenges? Something like that you have asked. Then I remember to reply to you saying that I have no challenge. I have no problem. Whatever comes to your life, you must be ready and you must be ready to take it as it is. Accept whatever that comes in your life. This is the second very important thing that I feel. The third important thing is, please keep on doing your work. Your duty, that's all. Don't be influenced by anything else. Keep on doing your duty and keep on learning in life. For learning, there is no age limit. So keep on doing and keep on learning. These are very important. And one great thing that matters in life, the people, the relationship, the love, the affection, the connect, the human connect. I think this is a very, very ingredient of anybody's life, whether you are a manager or whoever it is, you know, it is that connect which is very, very important.
That's so true. You know, I'd read a quote long time back, sir. It said, a teacher affects eternity. He or she can never tell where their influence stops. And I think for you, this fits in perfectly. Your influence continues. I'm meeting you after 10 years. And I still have the same thrill and enjoyment having spoken to you then after the interview that I have now when we've reached the end of this interview as well. Thank you so much. Stay blessed. Continue to inspire. An honor to have you on You and I with Rashmi Shetty, sir. God bless you and just stay.
Nice of you. And you bring a lot of passion into the interview. That is what I like. Okay?
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Nice of you. Nice.
With that, we come to the end of this weekly quest of You and I with Rashmi Shetty. Do let us know if you know people who make the world beautiful. Write in to rashmi.thethirdeye@gmail.com. That is rashmi.thethirdeye@gmail.com. Come, let's explore this amazing world together, both you and I.